our pleasure to welcome you to your friendly drive-in theater. For the information of those who are attending the drive-in for the first time, the following hints will make you feel at home and add to your enjoyment. Firstly, if you've not already done so, remove the speaker from the stand and place it in your car. Secondly...
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dead at the Starlight Drive-In. Not the drive-in that you probably went to, but the drive-in we all wanted to, the one of our dreams. Where we would all go when we were kids and just watch drive-in movies. And tonight we're going to go with one of the best of the Poe series. And all I got to say is thank God Roger Corman got bored.
I agree wholeheartedly.
But first, we're going to do some trailers. Go up to like 31.
I got it at 31:24, Steve.
Okay, wait. Toby.
Which is a black screen.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. 31, I got 31:36, 16, but still, same place. Black screen. And everyone get there and let's go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rated R.
Yep.
There were two trailers for this movie. One, which is this, which is like, hey, look, this is a badass biker film. And then there were the second one after AIP got the rights to this after Billy Jack come out, and they tried to sell it as a Billy Jack movie.
Yeah.
And yeah. I like him, the guy who plays the lead biker. He's good. He's just your perfect mean son of a bitch, ain't he?
Yes, he is.
And if you notice, there's someone who hasn't showed up yet. We're already about 10 or 20 seconds into the trail. Oh, never mind.
There he is. God, I hate Tom Laughlin. I hate Billy Jack.
I wish they would have kept the original line from the script, but Tom didn't want to say it. Which is, are you planning on fighting me or fucking me?
Right.
I mean, I just like how mean the punches are in this movie. They hurt like a son of a bitch just by looking at
them. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just broke that guy's knee and you feel it.
Yeah.
The nerve shattering happening on a night to a fear-chilled nightmare. And Jane Russell.
Jeremy Slate, that's who it is. Jeremy Slate is the main bad guy.
I like him. That's one of the best shots of the whole movie right there. And they had
with
to cut
the glasses,
it in the trailer. And then they just said, what is it? Oh, this is one of the weird subjects. Yeah, no, this is Eye of the Cat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was a weird little subgenre in the 70s called the Killer Cat movie. And this is one of the slowest and most boring of them. It's like a half-hour Twilight Zone movie stretched out to 90 minutes.
Cats are my spirit animal, so I'm in.
Yeah, but this movie is just so fucking boring. I mean, they're making this movie seem interesting in the trailer, but nothing happens. You know?
I've never seen this one, so I can't tell you.
It ain't no Night of the Thousand Cats for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. You're playing with me, aren't you? What they're keeping out is he has a horrible... See, asshole cat. The cat killed her.
Oh, okay, that okay, just for that I need to see that. Well, you know, at least they're not, you know, killer rabbits.
Yeah.
M.
This is one of those bizarre, I think, Italian Zorros. Oh, Zorro. This ain't no erotic adventures of Zorro or Zorro the Gay Blade, damn it.
Well, you know, there was another Zorro with Alain Delon.
Is this the one
with Delon?
Yeah.
I've seen this on HBO.
Is it any good? Does it have that sense of fun that the trailer has?
Yeah, it does. It's not great, but I watched it. I didn't turn it off.
Shit. They're playing Donkey Kong.
Yes, they are.
Doing. It's all stupid.
Yeah, it was fun.
And you know the horses are going, fuck you, as they're going
yes.
over there.
That's the one with Delon.
Oh, God, no. And you said that Born Losers is bad. Just when you open your big mouth, Carl, we get Viva Knievel.
Okay, this is not the one with... This isn't the one with George Hamilton, right?
No, this is the one with Evel Knievel getting his ass kissed by Red Buttons and Gene Kelly.
Oh, Jesus.
Red Buttons, yeah. Why is it that always when the sports star did a movie, they always dragged out Lauren Hutton?
I don't know. She's cute.
Hey, okay, this movie has Marjorie
Gordner. Oh,
Gordner,
okay.
It has one saving.
That's
point.
Who that is. Gordner, okay.
Yeah.
Come on, it's got Marjo in it. We got to watch
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And Evel Knievel riding to a hospital in his motorcycle.
Oh, this looks really bad.
Oh, it is. This is right before Evel got in all of his interesting dilemmas involving him beating the shit out of a woman, I think.
Yeah.
But it's got that song, Viva Knievel.
Yeah, okay. That looks bad. I've never seen that one.
This movie has only one thing wrong with it that makes it just weird and unwatchable to me.
What?
Sam Elliott does not have his mustache.
I think
what are you going to say?
I love this movie.
There ought to be a law. There ought to be a law about having Sam Elliott without his mustache in a movie.
I love this movie.
There ought to be a law about no Sam Elliott.
The poster is absolutely fucking amazing. The poster.
Oh, God,
is,
yeah. Adam Rourke. See, look. That's something
there he
wrong
is.
With that.
Yeah, it's called Rainbow Land.
Yeah. I watched this a lot when I was a kid because it was on the local horror show, but this is an this movie is more batshit weird than it has any right to be. You would think it would be,
yeah.
You know.
And to be honest, it doesn't have a whole hell of a lot of frogs.
No.
Seriously.
And Snake's like, what the hell is this dumbass doing? We all the way over here. You say that and look, and then all of a sudden a shitload of frogs.
Yeah. But that's the only thing that the frogs show up, and that's about the only shots you see of them. Seriously.
Except that bizarre shot of the end with that little kid with that giant-ass frog.
Yeah.
Is the best thing about the movie right there.
Absolutely.
Oh, and here's what I said. What's sad is one actor from this movie actually got across the board legit great reviews for this movie, didn't they, Carl?
Okay, I'm not sure what movie this is. Oh, okay, I know, yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
But he's not in the fucking trailer. Maybe like 2 seconds he's in the trailer.
Hey, listen, this is probably, if not the best, like in the top three of biker films.
Yeah. And like I said, and it has, this is the movie that took Kate the actor we're talking about and really took him over the top.
And, of course, he'd been in so many westerns, you know, in supporting roles and all over the place. And he's,
There he is. Bruce Dern.
I love him.
One of the best death scenes ever in this movie.
And I will say this. Nancy Sinatra actually does okay in this film.
Who's that dick between them?
Oh, I wonder. I think it's a Dick Miller.
Yeah. This is one of the best of the biker films. And
oh, easily. Easily
that,
top three.
They just ruined it. We're seeing three of the best scenes of the fucking movie already.
Uh-huh. We want to get loaded.
Yeah, I want to get loaded. Loaded with what? Popcorn. And plus, this has one of the darkest nihilistic endings you would even think for a biker film.
Absolutely.
They live with the joys of hell. That's us watching bad movies, Carl.
Oh, okay. I guess so.
Yeah, we
guess
live with the joys
MST3K
of hell.
Guess we're MST3K now.
What's this one? Oh,
oh,
I don't know this movie.
Okay, I got this.
You take it.
I got this one. One of my favorite films of all time. This is The Magic Christian. Someone just asked to put 7 films of Peter Sellers on an imaginary marquee, and this is one of them. Ringo Starr, written co-written by many people of the Monty Python who are also in the film. It is just a nasty, nasty, nasty satire, and it's beautiful.
And an amazing fucking soundtrack.
Yes, by Badfinger.
Do you think Wes corrupt?
I don't know.
Let's see.
Nipples.
Nipples.
Yeah, I don't know. And this is the only movie where you will see Yul Brynner and drag singing the love song to Roman Polanski. I'm just saying.
And the best part is Polanski did not know what the hell was coming.
Yeah. Oh, and let's not forget Raquel Welch and a leather teddy in Whips, okay? Really helped me during my puberty years. And Spike Milligan!
This had everybody who was the best of the 70s of British.
British comedians.
Yeah, comedians. Here it is.
If you have never seen this, you have to. This is necessary. There she is.
Yeah. Have you ever seen this trailer before?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, Christopher Lee as Dracula.
And giant asses. Hump. Hey.
And probably the nastiest ending ever. And, of course, you know who did that animation, don't you?
Yeah, Terry Gilliam.
Absolutely.
I knew you'd love that as soon as I seen that here. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Great.
They don't
great
make
film.
Comedies like that anymore, sadly.
No, they do not. Uh-oh, it's a canon film. This is good.
There's only one good actor in this movie. And I want to see if you can get it. This is American Ninja. Originally, Chuck Norris was supposed to be in it. But for some reason, they canceled Michael Dumbass Takoff. But that's not who I love in this movie.
Okay.
There he is, Steve fucking James.
Nice.
He's the one they should. Well, if you've seen American Ninja 2, haven't you?
Yeah, I've seen American Ninja 2.
AKA Steve James just steals the whole damn movie without even trying.
Yep. Well, Steve James.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy that unfortunately died too young, and he was just on the cusp of really getting his due.
Well, most of the time he was on the cusp, he got his due. First, he got cancer, and it got cured, and he was going to be in the Sam Raimi Mantis television series. And just when the series was about to kick in the gear, his cancer came back, and he died from it that time.
Yeah.
But Michael Dudikoff was always a fucking dork. There's just no way.
Yeah, okay.
And Sam Fistenberg, the best Asian director ever. What is this shit? Oh, there's only one great thing in this trailer. Let's see if you can get it. One thing. And there's one goal about it.
I don't even know what this is yet.
Iron Eagle.
Oh, is this Iron? Oh, well, okay. If it's Iron Eagle, then we know exactly who it is.
Who?
Well, it's two, actually. But of course, it's Robert Forster.
No.
Or is it Lou Gossett? Maybe I got
no.
it.
No, Lou Gossett's good. Just wait till the music kicks in, damn it.
Okay.
Now, Iron Eagle 2 is a badass film. Do you remember who stars in that?
No.
Chiba.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's got Chiba.
Yeah.
Anything with Chiba.
Yeah. This movie is crap except for the, well, wait. Come on, kick in, goddammit. Here we go. One Vision by Queen.
Oh, okay.
Which
I'm not a big Queen fan, so
yeah,
for me it's Lou Gossett.
Yeah, but it has the funniest ending in their song. He's like, gimme peace, gimme war, gimme fried chicken.
Well, it's Sidney Fury. My guy would like that, Dan
yeah.
Kramer.
Oh, and speaking of this guy, how many times, wasn't he almost James Bond?
Okay, I don't know who it is yet. It's not, I don't know this at all.
Danger Route, you know the actor. Zombie, Richard. He was in The Haunting, too. Richard Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I always thought that he was one of those up for the James Bond role, but he turned it down.
He's American, isn't he?
No, he's English.
Okay. I don't know this movie at all.
This is one of the James Bond's cash-ins. This is a very, very untapped subgenre, which not too many have been released of, you know. The only bit...
Sylvia Sims? Oh, I love Diana Doris. Oh, Harry Andrews I like too.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know that at
Lucinda.
All.
Lucinda! Oh. Well, still Richard Johnson being a badass, so it might be worth watching. But there was a lot of those.
Oh, Paplin movies. God, I love these.
And this is the one I love better than Steve Reeves, this guy right here. Reg Park. He was the best of the Italian Hercules.
God, back when I was a kid, I watched every one of these I could find. I loved these.
Well, do you agree with me that Reg Park was really the best of the ones?
He was really good. I did like Steve Reeves. For me, it's between the two of them. So who did the Baba? Who, you know, the Baba
Reg
Hercules
Park.
Film?
Yeah, Hercules.
That was Reg?
Haunted
yeah,
World.
He's probably the best
yeah.
of them then. Because
Reg
that's my
Park,
favorite.
Yeah. Reg Park and some British guy as Hades.
God, I love these.
Yeah,
you're bringing me back to my being a kid, like
oh,
6 years
yeah,
old.
Oh, yeah, they really shoved these out to the drive-in.
I saw these a lot on Children's Theater.
Yeah, still the same thing. If you remember, the Chiller package was a lot of the AIP films.
Exactly.
Let's see. Da, 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 da. Okay.
I love this.
Yeah, here we go, Carl.
Harry Dean Stanton. Warren Oates, arguably Warren Oates' best film he ever did.
If you watch the last show we did.
Born to Win.
They have Born to Kill, the bullshit title for this. Now, here, talk about the real film now that the real film's up.
This is a brutal film. And I'll tell you this. Whatever possessed Roger Corman to give money to Monty Hellman, who directed this, to make this movie, thinking he would make money on this film, biggest mistake he ever made. And he even says it's the biggest mistake he ever made, Roger Corman. And yet, it's one of the greatest films of all time. That's because it's Hellman. That's because it's Warren Oates.
Yeah, and what's funny is if you watch the movie, you're rooting for Ed Begley in that scene, not Warren Oates.
Yeah, absolutely. James Gammon is in this. Great actors, man. Richard Schull.
That guy whooping his ass, that chicken.
Yeah. By the way, you're bleeding on your sound a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you are,
man,
too.
I know. I got it down to like 30. We got to hear something.
Yeah, this sums up the movie perfectly.
Oh, absolutely. It is a great film. Okay, what the hell is
okay.
it?
Okay.
Oh, this thing. Oh, my God, this is so fucking bad.
Yeah, this is a movie you watch when you want to go to sleep.
I saw this in the theater and fell asleep. I'm
Shape
not joking. I paid money to go see that.
Okay, and that's the end of the trailers for this term.
Okay.
And I've never heard any good words about that, except that it has an ending and you don't have to watch it on purpose.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. So, Stephen, before we start Mask of the Red Death, what is the total time
92,
that you have?
I think mine's 89 minutes. What's yours?
Yeah, 128.47.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure we have the same cut. Because I've got mine on OKRU, and you've got the Blu-ray, right?
Yeah.
So I'm ready to go when you are.
Okay. Well,
okay,
let me
before
push
we
play
do that, though, before we
print.
Do that, hold on. Before we do that, let's just make sure that they also know you can rent this on Amazon, too.
And
so
you can
rent it on Amazon.
And you can buy a great single disc now from Shout Factory.
Right. So I'm basically right at the Metro Golden Mayor.
Yeah. They're the ones who, when AIP went under, they bought up their catalog.
Right.
But, yeah, this is 1964, which would either put it at the peak time or just beyond the peak time of the Pose. I think this came after the first major flop.
Did this come after Lygia? I don't think so.
No, Lygia was the last one. The first major flop was the something casket, the one with Ray Milland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where he was buried alive and you was pissed off that he really...
Premature burial.
The one where he was buried alive and you're pissed off that he wasn't killed if you're watching the movie.
Exactly. And you're pissed off it's Ray Milland and not Vincent Price. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the one where, well, they had a co-production going on with a British company, and Roger Corman was bored making the standard pose that he was making. And he had a major crush on a director, which we'll get into once the movie started. To the point where he distributed a lot of his works in the 70s, right, Carl?
Absolutely.
Okay, and we're at the MGM thing, and the movie starts in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, here we go.
There's a lion.
And he roars.
The
lion sleeps tonight. No, sorry.
James Nicholson saying we're at the Mask of the Red Death.
I consider this to be the best of the posts, by the way. I don't know if you agree with me on that.
Oh, remember I went to that thing at the drive-in just to see this.
And Jane Asher, too.
Yeah, and the movie that it came out that Corman fell in love with is something called, what was it? I keep forgetting the god dang title. God help me. The Seventh Seal.
Yep.
Ingmar Bergman's film. You'll see that all over the place. And I love this with the fog and everything. It almost looks black and white, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Now the one thing we should make mention of is that the cinematographer is a great filmmaker in his own right, and he started off as a cinematographer, and that would be Nicholas Roeg.
Yeah.
Who gave us The Man Who Fell to Earth, Performance, so many great films, Eureka. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And what's funny
is
that Roeg was setting up his shot, and Corman didn't know what the hell he was doing. And he asked me, he said, "What the hell are you doing?" He's like, "Come here and look." And boom, he like, you know,
you do whatever you want, man.
You know, yeah. I'm in love. I love this part right here.
Oh, man.
It's never been confirmed, but doesn't that voice sound familiar?
Yeah. Absolutely.
The rumors
are
is that's Christopher Lee, but it's never really been confirmed or non-confirmed.
I don't think it's Christopher Lee.
It sounds like him at that age.
Somewhat, but I don't think it's him.
And there's Christopher Price in one of his best roles.
Easily. Easily one of his best roles. Along with Witchfinder General.
Vibes and Theater of Blood.
Yeah, Theater of Blood is wonderful, too. Vincent Price is a gay hairdresser in one scene. Wonderful.
With an afro. Well, he plays it.
Yeah.
Well, if you look, he's playing it pretty fey right here.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he is, look at his color scheme on there, gold, he's rich.
Yeah. Now, another thing we should mention is that the script to this, based on Poe, was written by Charles Beaumont, who's one of the great writers who did several Twilight Zone episodes.
That was one hell of a beautiful pimp backslap there, damn it.
Oh, my God. This is gorgeous. It truly is gorgeous.
Yeah, and Jane Asher's gorgeous, too.
Oh, and that is not, Jane Asher is still acting today.
Yeah.
She's in her late 80s now. And I had a real thing for Jane Asher, man. I've always had a thing for redheads. But, you know, most people gush at Hazel Court in this film. For me, it's Jane Asher.
And really, look at her hair throughout the film, and you'll notice something, a little detail about it as it gets deeper and deeper into the movie that explains something that most people are confused about.
Okay, well, I'll keep looking for that. I've actually not seen this movie in many years. So
and
I was
speaking
very
of great fucking actors. Patrick fucking McNee, wasn't it like his first big U.S. Exposure, this?
I think probably it was.
And I'm sorry, it's hard to look at him, even at this, without thinking of, do you like?
Yeah,
finish it, Carl. Do you like? The wine?
The wine?
Yeah.
And, of course, Patrick McNee is in Clockwork Orange. He's in so many wonderful films. I love him.
Yeah. Haven't you noticed so far that when she first showed up, she was a honey redhead?
Yep.
And now that she goes in the wagon, her hair is like a little bit shade darker.
Yep.
I wonder how this really went over in a drive-in back then. I mean, people that love the Poe films watch this. Well, I can remember watching this at the drive-in at Riverside, and it's just like bliss.
I started at the drive-in in 72. We never did the Poe films. Never did the Poe films.
Well, they were, by the time you hit the drive-in, man, they were all on the...
On TV.
Scare package. I forget, what is it? Not the chiller package, but... call it the scare package 1 and 2.
Right, but all the Poes basically ran together, you know, by early 70s.
Yeah, scare package 1... was the Poe film. Scare Package 2 was the 70s film.
Right.
We
but
got the second one. Yeah.
I mean, one of the things about this film is how gorgeous is it?
Okay, Carl, this is a scene you didn't get to see back then. How does it feel to finally get to see this scene, Carl, which didn't get put back into the film until the HD restoration and the DVD? You're like,
well,
hey,
you don't see much, but you see enough.
And I want you to remove it at once, and never to wear it within this castle again.
And there's Hazel Court.
I mean, I remember seeing this a couple of times when I was younger, and I just thought Jane Asher was like
your father and your lover.
God, I was in love with her. I was like 7 years old. I had no idea what was going on.
Now I'm enjoying my guest.
I think I'm in love with just the bathtub, period. I love those golden swans, damn it.
Oh, absolutely.
You may think that you've impressed the Prince, Russ, but you can count on little help from him. He will do as he tells you.
Bitch.
Yeah.
I will do what I must to save my men.
Yeah, you're bleeding again.
I'm done.
No, I'm not. I got it down low.
So do I.
Let me speak to you about the anatomy of terror.
Terror? What would you know of terror, Alfreda?
You don't get to see her. Oh, well.
I love how he castrates her, how he castrates Pat, basically castrates McNee whenever he shows up on the screen, you know.
Yep.
I want that clock.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
We're starting to see the color scheme of the rooms really start to creep in because there's the blue candles, the green ones, the white.
You know, and, of course, the green walls and the gold. The color scheme to this is really important, and it becomes more and more apparent as the movie goes along. Right now, you're in very, very mild colors. And as the movie goes along, of course, it's called The Red Death, it gets more and more dark and more foreboding. Now, is that an actual castle or is that a set?
I forget. I think it is a castle. I think it's the same one they used in... Kronos and a few other films. How did you first learn of this story, Carl? Was you Hot Toad or Hot Frog?
For me, I had read Poe when I was very, very young. I think I started at 6 or 7.
I'm talking title of the tale. I always knew it as both.
Well, I knew it as The Mask of the Red Death.
I'm talking about the subplot, you gentlemen. Because right now
okay, I don't know
the
what...
subplot of the small story of an adaptation of Poe's Hot Toad, a.k.a. Hot Frog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with the...
I think I knew it as Hot Toad.
Yeah. And this is an actual little person here. And the girl was played by an 8-year-old girl. That's why her voice sounds weird, because they use an adult woman's voice on her to speak for her. And I do love the fact how Corman mixed the two stories.
Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, that is really Charles Beaumont. That's the writer that did this.
Yeah.
Not Corman.
And I love, how do you love that scene so subtle where he slapped the girl and then if you really didn't look, you didn't see him pull out the knife.
Okay, so I'm a little behind you.
Okay.
I'm a little behind you. So he just slapped the girl.
Yeah.
It became to the village. Even now it may wait countryside. So you can count.
But how do you like how subtle that was, Carl, when he pulled the knife out?
Yep.
Ooh, lavender.
Yep.
There is only one real difference between the story and the movie, and is that in the movie, if he would have seen the people wearing red in the book, he would have had them killed on sight.
Right. God, is she gorgeous.
Is it me or is it ironic that we watched the trailer to The Magic Christian before this?
Yes. Okay, the interesting thing here is you take a look at everyone and Jane Asher is in white. There is a reason for that.
Yeah.
What is white as far as a color is concerned? It's the color of purity.
Yeah. If you want it here
she is, come and get it.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Vincent Price as a complete fucking villain. This movie or Witchfinder General?
Witchfinder General. Because at the end
it's
of Witchfinder, let me finish. Because at the end of Witchfinder, you're pissed off that what's his name didn't get to kill him.
Yes. Spoilers, by the way.
Isn't it me or is this like almost the same ending as The Magic Christian right here?
Yeah. Well, in The Magic Christian, it's the rich that really, really get it. They're making
yeah.
fun of the poor.
Oh, and here is the rooms. God, I love this. Yellow room.
Yep.
This is all Rogue here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Corman directed this, but it's Rogue who really made this film.
Yeah.
As I said, I'm about 10 or 15 seconds behind you, so they just entered the yellow room here.
Family have always been interested in such things. Somewhere in the human mind, my dear Francesca, is the key to our existence. My ancestors tried to open the door that separates us from our creator.
Creator.
Look at that.
Oh, the purple
look
room.
Look at this gene on Price's face and his
yeah.
head. I mean, really.
Can you look?
they said this. They said this was the room. Well, not this room, but they said this is the black room when they tried to make it, because they tried to make it black at first, and it kept coming out like this. So Rogue said, let's keep the purple room and keep trying to make the black room.
Right.
Because no matter how much they tried to make it black,
it turns out purple. But you know what? I'm okay with that.
White with lilies.
But, you know, even if you're trying to make it a black room, the idea that he's got the purple in there and that the colors pop.
Yeah.
The colors pop.
That's what I mean. It's, and I do love how they, you know, even he's terrified of the black room.
Yes.
I'm glad that they hit so close to the way Poe described it in the story.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you something. We think of Vincent Price as this horror icon, which he certainly is, who basically did a lot of campy things, you know, and God knows we love all those, okay? But I really think he was a great dramatic actor too.
Yes.
And one of the films that, if you haven't seen it, you should look at and find is The Wails of August.
Yeah.
Where he is, he's near the end of his career. He's very old. He's with Bette Davis and Lillian Gish. And he's wonderful in that.
And I love how almost everybody would play him. Prospero is over the top, and he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
There's just this coldness about him,
which I think actually works better. I mean, I've seen this with other actors as Prospero, and those films aren't as good, or, you know, but they do play him way over the
top. Are you
and
saying Oliver Reed played a role over the top?
Just slightly. Just a
that
little
one
bit.
Yeah. That one may be the most over-the-top version I know is...
It's not nearly as good as this either.
Oh, good.
It's not.
That's an understatement. And there you go. Jane naked in a white blanket. You know she's in the white room, too.
Yeah. God, she's gorgeous.
And she's just so, plays it so innocent. And
yeah.
Look at her hair.
Yeah.
And her lips.
Darken.
If you didn't notice,
yeah,
how her hair and stuff did not get darker in shade of red, you would be confused at the end how a certain character gets into the house.
Right.
Like I said, I'm still surprised this went over with the drive-in crowd as well as it did.
Well, again, I can't judge that because I didn't see this at a drive-in. I can't really make that, you know, connection. However, if you look at this film and you watch it, you know this is a really good film. And in many ways, I think this is probably the best that Corman ever directed. And he directed some really good ones. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
That.
He has also said one of the luckiest things that ever happened to him was the studio giving him, them their one of their basic studio cinematographers for this movie.
Oh, yeah. And I cannot underemphasize the effect that Nicholas Rocon had on this film.
Yeah.
Now, I think this was the only one that he photographed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it was an art film theme from back then, you would definitely be able to catch all of the Bergman references. And we can't underestimate it either, can we?
No. How they set up this thing where she goes in and out of frame and something obscures her body for a little bit. That's very Bergman-like.
Yeah.
And something comes into the forefront.
Wasn't that one of his most popular films over here, The Seventh Seal?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that. There's the purple room.
That's coming. As I said, I'm about 10
minutes. The hardest thing about filming in the black room was getting it lit. Because if you can imagine it, just sucks up the light.
Mm-hmm. God, look at those curtains. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just, and that window. And that's how they compromise. Just to be able to light the damn thing.
Yep.
Boobies. I mean,
yep.
Boobies.
Oh, man. Her in red. Oh, God, that's gorgeous.
I don't know. I have the same look, too, as someone touched me when I was trying to sleep.
Yeah.
In the way that, you know, she's just running from room to room. There's the Patrick McNee we know and love, damn it. Right?
Right. Okay, the other thing that we have not mentioned here is the score. The score is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know how Falcon is trained, my dear? Her eyes are sewn shut. Blinded temporarily, she suffers the whims of her god patiently until her will is submerged and she learns to serve. Thus your god, Falcon, blinded you with frost.
Okay, you're definitely bleeding, my friend.
He defended no one.
No, it's a fucking police car going by the house.
No, I hear the movie, just so you know.
Yeah.
To wear the symbol of the deity long dead.
You must.
Satan, the Lord of Flies, follow me.
I love how quieter his voice got when he started saying that.
Yep.
Yeah. You notice she's wearing green now with gold, the gold flecks were worked in.
No. Now, who is this guy? I know him as an actor.
I don't know.
Full of the red death. That's not right, I do. Allow us heaven. Egg sanctuary. There's no church. By any god, in all the gods of time, I beg you.
I love this.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
I've had her. I've already had that doubtful pleasure.
Bear yourself the red death.
Okay, Stephen, give me a time frame here. Give me a time.
Okay. Oh wait, wrong button. 31 minutes 23 seconds.
Okay, so I'm a little ahead of you.
I'm right past the part where he throws the dagger down, and then it turns
right,
into the sword.
Yeah, I'm at the swords right now.
Yeah. Why are you training someone who wants to fucking kill you?
I don't know. You think you're above all this. You think you're untouchable. That's about the only reason I can come up with.
Or he's just a dumbass.
That too. Could be one of the two. But he's not a dumbass. He's not.
No. I'm talking about the guy who's training him, period. Nothing fighting. He learns really fast. Yeah. True. Wouldn't you say?
True. Yes, very much so.
He is just so elegant in this damn movie.
Oh, he is.
We will not fight. And I don't think you'll give us up to simple torture. Because if you did, then in a way you would have lost.
However, I am pleased to find that you've given me a
just so nasty.
Yeah, and the fact that someone's actually out thought. Him, not don't stop.
Yeah.
That's... That's how I felt sitting on a cold toilet in the morning. I make the same noises. Yeah, but I love how subtly he's corrupting her. But he doesn't want her corrupted too.
Mm-hmm.
This plays more like a play than an actual movie.
Well, it's very cinematic. Notice they're always moving toward the camera. You know, I mean, it's very cinematic, but you're absolutely right. This could be done as a play.
Like a Shakespearean play.
Oh, absolutely.
Join me in the glories of hell. No, never.
Isn't that how you feel when you show somebody some fucked up movie, Carl?
Yes.
I want to come and enjoy.
Like last night.
I want to come and bathe you into the joys of hell.
Actually, last night's movie was The Joys of LSD, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. I've always wondered, was Hazel Court's character just like Jane Asher when she first ran into Prospero?
Absolutely. I would think so. I think that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So Hazel Court, just so you know, this was probably her last big role. She did a lot of TV series afterwards. She was also in The Raven, which is another in The Premature Burial.
I love The Raven.
Oh yeah, so do I. Dr. Blood's Coffin. She did a lot of horror and Grand Guignol, and The Man Who Could Cheat Death.
Yeah. Anton Differing.
Oh,
I
God.
Love that right there is when he stabbed herself with the cross. You seen the smoke come off her chest rather than just the burn appearing.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes the subplot kicking in again. He's good.
Oh, are you kidding? He's absolutely fantastic.
I mean, I love the fact that they include this sub-story. I mean,
mm-hmm.
a way to mix in two short stories into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two short stories.
As we were talking before, he's best known for A Clockwork Orange. We're talking about Richard McNee.
I'm talking about the little dude, not McNee. McNee's always good. Saying McNee's good is like saying water's wet.
Yeah, but I want to just make a point of a specific film he was in that I happen to love that nobody else seems to love. And and I'm trying to remember Demons of the Mind, which I love him in.
That's a good movie. I just wish we would get a good cut of it.
True. And then, of course, Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Osborne, too.
Oh, God, yeah. I've actually got that one on Blu-ray.
I've got that on DVD.
Yeah, I know. I gave it to you.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And let's not forget he was also in The Final Program, too.
Yeah. But I do love how they're playing this. He's letting them play this mind game with each other, you know.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The White Door.
Uh, in the white room with white curtains
and white doors and Jim Morrison.
No, that was Cream.
No. White doors, Jim Morrison. Get the joke?
Yeah. Yeah, but I was referring to the song that actually pretty much referred to this, In the White Room with the White Doors at the Station.
The upside
you see the
down
screw
cross, by the way.
Yeah, but do you see the screw up on the scene?
Not offhand.
The cross is on the wrong side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I love the fact that she's kind of, you know, she's supposedly acting so nice to her. Everybody's just a duplicitous, two-faced mother-father in this movie.
So just to make it clear, if you have an upside-down cross tattoo, you are screwed. Okay,
or
just want everyone
you
to
gave
know
yourself,
that.
Or you gave yourself a cross tattoo.
Right.
Or you got a tattoo by someone with dyslexia.
Yeah, true. God.
Is that a key or a gun?
Yep. A little gun. Tiny little gun.
Yeah, well, I do love it, you know.
But, okay, so here we are. Take a look at this scene. How she goes from dark to light, and you can see the back of her cloak, and how they've got this lit with the candles. So if she's near a candle, it's lit, but if she goes past, it's not. It's wonderfully done.
Yeah. Did they even have playing cards back then in medieval times?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
They did.
I was just expounding on my ignorance. And this movie has one of my all-time favorite, if not favorite, movie posters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it does.
The one where it shows Vincent Price's face, but it's made up of maybe 50 to 100 little faces. Everything about this movie is gorgeous. This is definitely a very creepy and atmospheric scene.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't see anyone but Rogue film this. But this really is Rogue before he went full Rogue.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other gentleman with them, Ludovico, is Nigel Green.
Yeah,
who's a very fine
father.
Actor also.
With a telling me the first time you was watching this, you're like, man, this is just too damn easy.
Yeah.
Is that you on poker night, no. Carl? What?
Yeah, more or less.
I heard something. You. Ah, oh, set out and play.
Play. I still play a game of poker every morning on the computer. I have to. I have to play one poker game a day.
Yeah. I love how this is supposed to be an action scene, but it doesn't play like an action scene. This movie goes against any of the rules that you would expect. You know. Like this right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that shock zoom into... I love that shock zoom into Price's face.
Oh, and absolutely.
This, yeah.
Ooh, it's a boar's head.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I want to eat now. Seriously.
I think we're at the banquet now.
Yeah, this is the banquet.
The aforementioned mask. Okay. And the word mask is another way of saying dance. All right, Carl. Carl. Well, we lost Carl for a moment. But here we are with Richard Pryor and Crush Delva, and we're at the... Pretty much we're at the last part of the movie when everything that's been brewing so far comes into play. Welcome back.
I got raptured. It happens.
Yeah, but yeah, mask is means dance.
Mm-hmm.
And masquerade comes from dancing, you know, covered mask, covered dance.
Right. Well, basically, it's a ball. It's a large congregation where everybody dances in celebration of something.
I love
That's
the way
what a mask
he's throwing.
Is.
Yeah, I love the way he's just throwing these daggers down.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and look at her hair. Look how red it is now.
Absolutely.
Why is it when he says entertainment, it translates into someone's going to get fucked?
Yep.
Love thy neighbor.
The honor and glory of saving the other's life. There are five daggers here. One of them is impregnated with a poison that kills in 5 seconds.
Oh, I forgot that's what he was doing it for. I thought he was just doing it for dramatic intent.
No.
That's beautiful.
Yep.
Would you not lay down your life for your
I love the look on his face when that guy is looking at him.
Yeah.
He's
That's
like,
what this is all about.
He's like, You're not scared? Holy shit, what the fuck is this shit?
And they all want to see him die. Look at that woman eating the chicken.
Yeah. All debts must be paid. Jack that chicken off, baby. Suck it, baby. Suck it.
Oh, you're bad.
She's doing it, not me. She's the one doing the innuendo.
They all want him to die.
She enjoys it too much. Damn, he's a pussy. I love how their faces just show their characters. Hazel Court's enjoying it too much, and McNee's just a wuss.
Yeah.
Actually, he's telling the truth there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, motherfucker, but yeah. Holy, you broke the rules. Fuck. I do love that. You're a bad man, yes, but I'll live and you'll die. Fuck you.
Yeah. God, he's so good. And I'm sorry that the person who is her love interest, just he's probably the weakest part of this whole film.
Well, he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Just like the whole Hot Toad side story, which is just
right
about the kick in the gear. It's so far in the background that, you know, until the shit hits the fan.
Exactly. And of course, a lot of this is about the upper class, lower class.
Yeah.
You know, and how the upper class treats the lower class, and the you know, how unfair that is.
Look what she's holding.
Mhm.
What's the importance of what she's holding?
I can't answer that. It's been so long since I've seen it.
The red
rose. Yeah.
The last time we seen that red rose was at the beginning with the old woman.
Right.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, this
the fog,
is just an incredible sequence.
Yeah.
It's an incredible sequence.
And people wonder, well, why do you love them drive-in movies so much? Because you got films like Moonshine Mountain. You got brutal action films. But you also got gems like this and Cockfighter.
Right.
And there he is. I love what he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
I love whenever they show the Red Death, he's playing Taro. Never known who played him.
No, and he's not credited either.
No. I love that, don't you? What weapon
yeah
can you use against him? Life. Look at the card in his hand.
Yep.
I'm right, and I don't think they ever show it, that's the fool, ain't it?
Right.
So beautiful, so subtle, right, Carl?
Yep.
Will this become hot? It will become uncomfortably warm. And if you notice, whenever Hop Toad is around him, that knife is always out.
Yes.
Is it me or is Patrick Neese's character a dumbass right now?
Yeah. But the main thing about this film more than anything else is the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere,
yeah.
You know, with the fog and everything and the way it's lit, it's all Nicholas Roeg. I mean, this must have been Roger Corman's easiest directing credit ever.
Yeah.
Because it's... And the raven there. Now notice the colors. Notice the reds. You're going to see much, much more of that from here on in.
Like I said, the red's in the window because that's the only way they had to light the fucking room.
Right, but Hazel Court is now in red.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen red all over the place.
And this is a trippy little scene.
Oh, absolutely. God.
It's like the whole thing has been shot through
gauze. Through gauze.
Still mirror.
Yeah.
Could you see that weird reflection, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where everything is slightly off.
Well, he does it between two things. He double exposes for one. And then the other thing is he uses gauze in the fog to even lighten the fog. So that you see the background dancer there. It's very, very faded and almost like double exposed.
Here's Carl on a Saturday night.
Years and years ago, by the way. I don't do that anymore.
He says.
God, I love this score.
If you remember, this scene wasn't in the TV cut.
No, it wasn't.
If you really look at it, these are different religious outfits they're wearing. Aztec, Egyptian priest. No, that's more of a Tibetan.
Oriental.
Yeah. Oriental. That would be a Zulu priest.
Yes.
Did Bill Gunn direct this scene?
Maybe. There's a good chance of it. Okay, so the music, the score is by David Lee. And I just wanted to give him credit. Oh, man, look at that shot of Hazel Court. The red, oh, that's all you hear, see instead of the black. That is just amazing.
And that look in her face like, I done fucked up.
Yep. Notice this is all done silently.
And yes, Carl, this is a wonderful film to see at the drive-in.
Oh, absolutely. On a big screen? Without a doubt.
Yeah. Outdoors.
Look at that. We're not saying much because we're all gawking at the rooms.
I want the candelabra, damn it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, notice the toilet seat there.
Yeah. When I was in high school, I'd already seen this, and my literature teacher was like, how can I show them a good way of showing them the rooms from Mask of the Red Death? And I brought my copy of this from home.
Nice.
Yeah.
And look at that shot of the clock, man.
I know, I love that clock.
But that shot with the pendulum going in front.
Yeah, floor, and just damn.
Yeah, seriously.
And the blueberries, the ice, and the white.
Uh-huh.
The candles.
Oh. And his nice little nod to the birds.
Do you know what was funny about what she just did?
What?
She just did a hawk noise while she was screaming. Girl in yellow. She's whispering in the mind. Ha! Did you expect something that outwardly humorous this late in the film, Carl?
Yep.
We should celebrate. She's with a friend of mine. Fuck you.
I wish to save our bodies. You left us.
You expect any plea to move his heart? If we must die, let's die like human beings.
You have not seen the Red Death.
You've not seen the dungeons of Prospero.
Oh, such a cute little kid.
Don't be frightened. Come with me. This is Gino.
This is my child. I must give her every child.
Yeah, I'd do that in that situation.
Yeah.
That one feels Prospero more than the Red Death. What do you want?
Mercy, great prince. This is all that is left. And the winter has come from the freezing wind. There is no shelter.
Dig a burrow. It's the fox.
Okay, it's bleeding over again.
There is frozen over. There is no food.
Then store up nuts like the squirrel.
Give us a
door is such like the squirrel. Fuck.
You came. You will die.
Then die.
If you refuse to go, then die here. Not the child. Not the child. It will perish anyway. Not the child.
I've never understood that little angle of him. He's supposed to be the evil son of a bitch, but he won't let him kill the child.
Because he wants the child to die the red death.
Hey, look, it's Peter Sellers, Carl.
Yeah.
Isn't this like the ending of a certain movie you like?
Oh, absolutely.
The only survivors of the village have just come to the castle walls. Only six.
Notice her hair, too. You're right about the hair.
Yeah.
And of course, it's all in a bunch now. It's not.
And the six who live.
That they demanded to enter the castle.
You killed them.
It was a kindness, my dear. Can't you see that?
And here you have the dance. The mask, right behind them.
Yeah.
Tonight after the mask, I will initiate you into understanding.
I don't know. I don't know.
And we're getting to the closure of one of the, I think, the last subplot of this movie.
Right.
And how do you like that? He's becoming like a bad motherfucker right here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know,
the
funny thing is, this is an hour and a half movie, right?
Uh-huh.
And yet it feels longer. And that's not a bad thing.
No.
The pacing in that is perfect because it just brings you along slowly until you get to the end. And then all hell breaks loose.
I love the fact that they didn't give him any face.
Yeah.
It is kind of odd, isn't it? Her voice, because they had to use a little girl.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't understand.
My plans are made. I believe in me. We'll leave this monstrous castle tonight.
Do we dare? The Red Death?
Just look at
me. I'm here. Believe in me.
I do believe in
you. Have a warm cloak.
The game is almost over.
Yep. So this is the mask. Now notice, it's also called a ball. It's community dancing. It's a type of folk dance that everyone participates in. And that's what a mask is.
And the mask is that thing they got on their faces.
That too. God, how can you not love him? Seriously.
Dude.
Our ape man.
Oh, McNee, yeah. I love how this ends up.
Oh, this is just... This is great.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I mean, look, Prospero knows what's going down. He don't have to. In the story, he makes the costume out of fur and tar.
Mm-hmm. This is great.
Yeah. And the punchline is just so beautiful coming up here in a few seconds.
Beautiful.
Yeah. My life is done. What's left, I give to you tonight. I love the way Price looked at her.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
God, clear that out of the way. How can my guests be expected to dance around that? And when you find Hopton, give him 5 pieces of gold as a reward for his entertaining jest. You please me very much, my dear.
I love that.
Yeah.
Here we go. Find him and give him 5 coins. I love how everything floats from one incident to the other. And there's no, like, shock change, you know.
No, no.
Everything
look
goes.
How this is edited. It is wonderful.
Yeah, like I said, it looks like they're floating from room to room, you know.
Exactly. Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at those colors.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that mask of his.
And, of course, the great reveal here.
Yeah.
Attorney Penelope, that's who you are. Penelope, you dog-picking... You're not dead. No. The doctor dances in quite room. I passed close by him. Truly prosper.
Yes, this is such a great, great, great film.
On your knees, Prince. I would like to see your face. There is no face of death until the moment of your own death. I am only one of many.
Love this speech.
Mm-hmm.
All, not all. I knew I was right. I knew it. I've won. The time of unmasking
is now.
They begin to show their naked faces.
I love that mask. Just that with the fringes and the gold.
Oh.
And look at the faces of the people. Do you see it? The red on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is just wonderful. God.
And no, H.G. Lewis did not play the drums for this scene.
No.
I do love that.
Yeah. And again, I cannot stress how much the score by David Lee has a lot to do with this, too. And the choreography here. This is just amazing.
And that beautiful way they do that, to go up real close to the red cloak and then have it fall, or just that little...
And then everybody's red. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Quiet it's gotten.
I knew he was supreme when no one else did. I built a tower to the faith. And I prayed to him, and I made a pact with him. And these, all of my friends, I promised them safety.
You presumed too much.
I know, but it does make a fine sense. The kind of death that would amuse Satan.
Would it?
In all my life, I've never met anyone whose faith rivals mine. Spare her to me.
A charitable request? A rare thing with you, Prospero.
It does sound like Christopher Lee there. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that's always been the odd thing about his character, is how he was... so gentle with the girl and Francesca.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing you don't expect, is him to be human.
Right. Death has no master.
Rules the universe. I made a pact with him.
He does not rule alone. Your pact with him will not save you.
There is no other god. Satan killed him.
Each man creates his own god for himself. His own heaven.
And look at the strobe effect on him.
Yeah.
Of course.
Is now.
Nice.
I do love that. Every man creates their own heaven and their own hell.
Their own hell. Which, of course, is a direct quote from Poe.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote.
I do love how it mixes in, like I said, all sorts of poems and stuff.
This is just amazing camera work.
Oh, God. Yeah. Everything is pretty much amazing in this movie. Nicholas Rogue and Corman just totally knocked this out of the freaking park.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, the best of the Poe films. And there's some really good ones.
Yeah. And no, the Witchfinder General don't count, because that wasn't a Poe film.
No, that was not. God, look at that.
Yeah.
The choreography, just amazing.
And how Bergman is that? Bergman-esque is that?
That's
extremely
Bergman-esque.
Especially the look of death. That's exactly how he looked, except that they used white.
Wide lenses, too. And then, you know, that's another thing, is the use of wide and then very, very close up and using them in tandem.
Yeah. And I love how they use white right next to the black.
Mm-hmm. God.
Why should you be afraid, darling? Your soul has been dead for a long time.
I love that.
Oh, it's just amazing.
Yeah, why should you be afraid to die? Your soul has been dead for a long time. And this.
Yes.
Hello, brother. How was your night? Busy?
Morning.
And then, of course, instead of the chess game, you've got the cards.
This eternity of wandering. 10,000 sleep where I walked. I am very tired. The weariness of those to whom we bring rest burdens you. What of you, brother? I called many. Peasant and prince. Worthy and the dishonest. Six only are left. Young man and woman, dwarf and tiny dungeon, this child, and an old man still in the village. Six transit Gloria.
So goes the glory of God. Or is that so goes the glory of man?
Mm-hmm.
And darkness and decay and the red death held immutable dominion
overall.
That is such a gorgeous end scene right there.
Oh, absolutely. All the different colors of the robe. Just an amazing.
Yeah. Samuel Nicholson and Steve Yarkoff. And yes, this was a big hit. Yeah. This was a big hit when it came out, and I'm not shocked.
No, not
Alta
at all.
Alta Vista. Oh, and I love this.
Oh, this is absolutely fantastic.
Hazel Court is Juliana.
And Jane Asher.
Asher
Pants
is
pad.
Francesca. David West and Nigel Green. Patrick McNee. The Hanging Man.
Yep. Great cast.
King of Swords.
The production design is just...
Daniel
Holler. Did an incredible job on the production. Of course, we've talked a lot about Nicholas Rogue.
Yeah. This is just pure gorgeousness. And I can just see so many movies that have taking this look, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like
choreography
even,
by Jack Carter.
Yeah. If you look at Baba's Lisa and the Devil, one of my favorites. The opening credits have these end credits.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Price, Charles Beaumont, and R. White Campbell.
Yep. Great script, putting everything together, all the different
produced
influences.
Produced by Roger Foreman. And look at what the last credit said. Directed by Roger Foreman.
Nice.
Le Mort Death.
I mean, seriously, what a great film.
Yeah,
what
very.
A great film. Just, you can't get much better than that. You certainly cannot. I'm sorry.
No. And like I said, I've seen this at the drive-in itself. I know that's just bragging, but I'm not, because it actually worked great at the drive-in.
Now, when did you see it? Was it one of the drive-in shows you go to?
Yeah, it was Drive-In Fest night, and they had it opened with Pit in the Pendulum. And then Mask of the Red Death.
Okay.
Tomb of Ligeia, a.k.a. That Asshole Cat.
Right.
And, Haunted Palace.
Nice. Nice.
Haunted Palace is the one that if you watched it on TV, I can understand why you don't like it. I didn't like it when I watched it on TV.
Is that the one with Poe as the character at the beginning?
No, that's the one with cross between Dagon, the case of Charles Dexter Ward,
okay,
and
that one.
A couple of other Lovecraft stories. It's the best of their Lovecraft films if you get to see it on the drive-in or the big screen. Mm-hmm. But if you watch it on TV, it's not that good.
Okay. But, yeah.
But, yeah,
the main reason
I picked that night is just so I could see Mask of the Red Death.
Oh. That is such a gorgeous film. It's seriously gorgeous.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that on TV, and my parents wanted me to stop watching it, and they looked at it like, and they decided that I could watch it. I must have been about 6 or 7 at the time. I was still in braces, and man, I loved it. I loved it, and then I got to see it in the 70s. They ran it on HBO for a while.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, I looked at the movie channel. They ran it on TMC, and I saw it again, and it was, oh. And I did get the DVD of it, too.
Yeah, I watched it first on the VHS. I never did get the double feature DVD because I would rather go burn in hell while you singing the complete collection of... you singing Stranger to the Night for 8 hours, then get the Premature Burial. I don't care what was on it.
Right.
As you guess, I didn't like the Premature Burial. That movie is just not good.
It's certainly one of the weakest. It's not Cry the Banshee, but it's close.
At least Cry of the Banshee doesn't have Ray Milan going, oh no, I'm still alive. I'm still alive, damn you.
Yeah. Ray Milan, not one of my favorite actors. I hate to say that, but it's true.
I forget what he was doing, but Price was supposed to be in it, but then another project came up.
Yep. But that
yes,
happened.
Thank you guys for watching. And next time, we talked about this movie like two or three times, and I think we should really get it out over with, because I know how much Carl loves this movie and probably wants to get it off the list. And that would be the Gore Girls.
Oh, we've got to do the Gore. Absolutely.
Because we've already loved on it like twice.
Yeah, we'll get to that. You just let me know when you got it scheduled, and I'll come on, Stephen. Not a problem.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening. And just remember this. It don't matter what you like. Watch what you want. Because there's too many buttholes out here in the scene right now that will go, you like that piece of crap? What's wrong with you?
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. All I know is I like it. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Right, Carl?
Yep, I agree.
Again, thank you for coming out to the drive-in, everybody. And say goodnight, Carl.
Good night, Carl.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home.
I hate to leave you, but I really must say, oh,
good night, sweetheart. Good night.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night.